And it just blesses my heart. The good Lord did a wonderful work in Brother Kenneth Smith's life himself. Yeah. And now what he's done in this grandchild is a faith strengthener for the entire family. They'll be able to look back on it and say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know where we've been. And I know what God has done. I'm glad you're here today to worship God. I appreciate, as Darlene wrote in the bulletin, all the prayers and comments that you've made concerning the passing of my brother. He's won his. You can't cry but so much when you think somebody's on the streets of gold and all that goes with that. But we all have got to win ours. And don't throw in the towel at the last mile. Hold on a little longer. Joy will come. I have a lengthy passage of Scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3, and then in the book of Jude, two verses. I don't know how far we'll get. I don't know how. I have no idea. I've not tried to peer through the telescope and see what we'll be doing. But for the last week and a half, this passage has been on my mind. And so I begin reading with verse number 1 and continue through verse number 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days, somebody say last days, one of the ways you can denote or recognize the last days is what's next now. There shall come in the last days scoffers. The word scoffer, clearly put, is making light of something. There shall come scoffers walking after their own lust. And they will be saying, where is the promise of his coming? They're making light of it. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Paraphrasing that, we've heard that stuff all our life. Just yawn and, you know, that's just stuff to use for scare tactics. Verse number 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The same word that spoke the heavens into being is said that Jesus is coming. The earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let's go to the book of Jude just a little ways to the right in your scripture. And let's read verse 17 and 18. But beloved, Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day who should walk after their own ungodly lust. I'm just using the idea, the thought, scoffers, the spirit of unbelief. The spirit of unbelief. Father, I stand before this congregation today with your word in my mind and in my heart and in my hand. Somehow I'm praying that you will override the limitations of human minds and deposit conviction powerfully, effectively into the mind and heart of the hearer. We're praying that those who are slowing up will speed up. We're praying that those who are wanting to give up will get up. We're praying that those whose fire is dying will be rekindled. We're praying that if you were to come today, that their building would be empty. Oh Lord, help me. We're praying that we could be looking for you, expecting you, and proclaiming you to the day we die. In the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Ghost would put his weight to these words. The world is carrying on as if there will be never an end. But there is going to be an end. The journey that you're taking, there's going to be an end to the world society. Make no mistake about it. There's going to be an end to the church age. We need to understand those things. There will be an end to the political systems and all the stuff that goes on. People wonder, what is the end going to be like? The Bible gives us the exact blueprint and picture of what the end will be like. God bound it up in that this book is a book of beginnings, and it's a book of continuation, and it's a book of conclusion. This book right here that I can hold in my hand gives us the entire picture of God's plan. Nothing needs to be added to it, and nothing must be taken away from it. We must accept it as it is and pray for understanding and enlightenment. Amen? The Word of God talks about the church. I'll get to my script in a minute. How will it end in the church? There's a plurality. Every one of the writers had something to say about this. But the church, from one writer's perspective, which is true, is going to have, in the spirits, a great falling away. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If you're hanging around backsliders, ungodly, lukewarm, joke-telling, carnal-minded people, it's going to take your fire from you. It's going to take your zeal from you. You will find yourself waxing cold. But if you hang around fire-baptized, Holy Ghost-anointed, inspired people, it's going to feed into you. Amen? So therefore, he said, there would be a falling away, a departure from the faith. The Word of God bears out in the book of 2 Thessalonians that there's something holding the devil back. Am I talking to you? There's something, and it's a mystery, that is only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's something holding the power that's pawing at the ground to be unleashed. There's something saying, oh, no, you don't. And that is the church of the living God, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to you? The church is the only salt, is the only preservative that's holding Satan back. The world, demonic powers, they want to come and crush and deal and destroy. But standing at the crossroads of every intersection, so to speak, is the Spirit of God indwelling in that church, saying you can politicize, You can pass your rules and your law, but the Word of God says murder is sin. You can violate the precepts of God, but the Word of God. So listen, on one aspect of the end of the church is going to end in Revelation chapter 14. It's going to end with a horse with a rider scarlet on it, and it's going to be called the Great. Are you ready for this? The Great Whore. I mean, that's biblical. It's going to be called a prostitute, so to speak. It's going to be called something not worth even entertaining. And it's going to be riding a beast. And the beast is the Antichrist. And because the Antichrist cannot come to power and persuasion without the help of religion, it's got to be. But when that Antichrist comes to power and gets fully entrenched in power, the first thing you're going to do is hate the whore. Can I talk plain to you? It's biblical. He's going to hate, and he's going to dismantle. He's going to throw it off and destroy it. But I've got good news for you. There's another element in the world called the church, and it is the church. It's not going to wax cold. It's not going to depart from the faith. It's going to be the recipient of the outpouring of God's Holy Ghost. My God in heaven, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions, and it shall come to pass in those days. I'm not pessimistic about the church. I have not washed my hands of the church. I still know that there is a house of God, there's a body of Christ, and there's a church. And I know, my God in heaven, that I'm a part of it. Can I get a witness out there? Glory to God. How is it going to end? It's not going to end bad. It's going to end good. Hallelujah. There's going to come a point. Oh, y'all come on now. There's going to come a point. I believe we're coming to the last moment of the last moments of the church. Glory to God. Can somebody say amen? It's going to end in the final analysis. Jesus is going to step out of the portals of glory, and he's going to give a shout. That religious body will not hear it, but that spiritual body will listen. And we shall be caught up. Caught up. My God in heaven, does anybody know what I'm... What are you going to be when that trumpet sounds? Where will you be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet? For the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be with the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Scoffers. Scoffers say that's a bunch of whatever. Scoffers look at that and say, y'all just crazy. You got pipe dreams. Dream on, honey, because this is real. Oh, how can it be? We've heard all that. That's what they're saying. So that the end of the church is going to be the fire of the Holy Ghost being poured out like never before. We're living in one thing about that you can be able to recognize who is who in this final outlay. The church is going to be with the Lord. Amen? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus, every one of the writers gave their interpretation. John, in chapter 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house, you know the story, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you something right now. It's not a pipe dream. It's reality. We're looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One of these days, You're going to get up and go about your duty, and it's going to be your last day on planet Earth. One of these days, you're going to be driving your car down the highway. Maybe you'll be at the sink washing dishes. Maybe you'll be carrying your kids to school. But something's going to happen in a moment. A blast is going to come. Am I talking to anybody? It's going to come. You're not listening for it, but it's going to come. Shakatomo shakaya. And it's going to take a hold of you and elevate you. Am I talking to you? It's called the blessed hope. Every man, John said, if you have this hope in you, you purify yourself. Daily, you go back to the cross and say, I want all the smut. I want all the mess, the debris, the carbuncles, whatever I picked up, I want it out. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The church, we've got a destination. Paul spoke about it. Jesus spoke about it. John spoke about it. Jude said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. James said, behold, the husbandman of the Lord had great patience waiting for the harvest. John the Revelator gave us 14 chapters of the tribulation and gave us an outline of chapter 1 of the church. He said, write these things. Am I talking to anybody? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. See, here's what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. You got neighbors, friends, relatives that laugh at that. On these pews today, very likely there might be people that are, ha, ha, ha. Well, the laugh will be on you, my friend. Because we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone with Jesus Christ, who never has done anybody wrong. He came to reconcile. He came to buy us back, to redeem us. He came to put us back in good standing with God the Father. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He come to take you by one hand and God by the other hand and join your hands together and make a peace offering. He came to save you. He came to deliver you. He never done you wrong. I'm going to be with him. I chose Jesus. I chose Jesus. I chose Jesus. Glory to God. Am I talking to you? But if you don't choose Jesus, you're going to be left to meet the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has never done anybody good. He's a persecutor. He's a blasphemer. He's a manipulator. He's a liar. He's an evil. He's full of the devil. He will speak swelling words. He'll have you believing it. And can I tell you, the spirit of Jesus Christ is being poured out in the church. And the spirit of Antichrist is coming forth upon the secular world and it, like never before. Oh, he's going to come and he's going to have a system. And we're living in the throes of it right now. I need to press that. Am I talking to anybody? There used to be that idea. Back in 50, 60 years ago, you've heard it said all your life, Maranatha, the Lord cometh. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. Let him be damned. Is that too strong? That's what the Bible says. If any man in this congregation today love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be doomed. It's not willing that any should perish. If you're here unsaved, God has done everything that could ever have been done to get you saved. He went to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ, not because for glory and fame, but to get you saved. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to redeem you. If you fall into the mud, he'll get his arm muddy and pull you out of the mud. If you tripped and fell, he'll stop and pick you up. He wants you to be home with him. He wants you to make it the last mile. He wants you to go to that city. He prepared the city not for himself. He prepared the city for us. My God, do you hear what I'm preaching? None of it. I'm not saved just to glorify the name of whatever denomination. I'm saved to glorify the Son of God. There's only the greatest thing you could do today in an unsaved condition is to come out of your pew, walk to an altar of prayer. I give my life to Jesus. I give my mind to Jesus. I give my future to Jesus. Take me, Lord God. Am I talking to anybody? Here I am. I surrender all and mean it from your heart. Mean it from your mind. Glory to God. I verify the spoken word by my spirit. Hearken unto the pull of my spirit, for it will save you, it will rescue you, and it will redeem you if you follow the leadership of my spirit. I say unto you, I verify the word that is spoken by the power of my spirit. Etamakaya. Now, let me move on. Everything, I said everything, is testifying with signs following the believer that this event is about to happen. Of the times and season, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. If you're ignorant, for this they were willfully ignorant of. They didn't want to hear the truth. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. What is a boat? I've never seen a boat. I don't know what a boat is, but God told me to build it. It ain't never rained, Noah. There's no oceans. There's no sounds, no rivers. I'm not worried about the sounds and the rivers and the ocean. He told me to build the boat. My job is to build the boat. I'm putting the pegs in place. Oh, that. But nobody was scoffing during the early stages of it. The scaffolding went up. Everything went up. But one day the door was in place and the scoffers come by. Ha, ha, ha. Look at that monstrosity. Look at that boat. Ha, ha, ha. But one day, you hear what I'm preaching. One day God said, Noah, you and your family come in. My God, church, do you hear what I'm... And Noah told the boys and the daughter-in-laws, let's get in the boat. The rain is coming. I'm telling you right now, let's get in the boat because the storm's coming. God, help me. I'm not planning on being here when the storm comes. I've got in the boat. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the boat to be elevated. Eshakalama. I want to tell you when the scoffer started. In the last final chapter, last final legs of... Whoa, you reckon there's something to that? You reckon there's something to that? That's what's going on. Oh, no, nothing to that. But the door got shut. And it was not shut by Noah. Because I don't have the authority to shut the door on you. But there comes a day when God can open the door and either shut the door. And he shut the door. It was over. Grace was diminished, was finished. Grace had run out. All at once, the scoffers on their way to the Saturday night shindig. All at once, on their way to doing their bit, marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and having pleasure, just like 2017. No thought of tomorrow, no thought of godliness, no thought of righteousness, no thought of holiness. Just live like you want to, do as you please. It'll all end up in, there's all this stuff about heaven and hell. That's just a mirage. That's just a, no, honey. No, honey. For 2,000 plus years, there's been generations that have embraced this, wrapped their faith around this. They didn't see it. They didn't experience it while on earth, but they are there. But the rain started. They don't know about rain because the mist come up. It was a change. There was a dramatic change in things. It was a jarring change. It was a jolting change. It was a shocking change. What's going on here? Water's coming from the heaven. What's going on here? Water's coming from, the Bible said the fountains of the deep were open. Their feet's getting wet. Their head is getting wet. All at once the scoffing stopped. All at once the water come up to the, am I talking to anybody? People get serious when it looks, I mean that disease comes. That perplexity in your family comes. All at once, priorities start changing. All at once, that you used to snicker at becomes your lifeline. It becomes something you hold on to. And you're not ashamed to call somebody up and say, would you pray for me? Well, maybe 10 years ago, something wouldn't have happened. And that friend said, I certainly will pray for you. I've been praying for you. Now keep on praying for you. It was raining, and the scoffers, they were jolted because what they had laughed at was now being experienced. By the time the water got to their chin and they climbed the highest tree and tried to outdo like a tsunami, they tried to outdo that. You can't outdo the judgment of God. Am I talking to you? Well, you say you'll scare people. I hope I do. You can't outdo, you can't outmaneuver the judgment of God. Once that judgment comes out, if it comes crescending down upon you, the only thing that can hold the judgment of God back is the mercy of God. And judgment may come small snippets to start with. But if you mess around, small snippets become major things until one day you're so stuck in the mire that you can't get out and you cry. And God said, because I called and you answered me not, I begged you and you paid no attention to me, I will mock at you when your fear cometh. I will laugh at you when your calamity comes. Am I preaching to you? There's no windows except overhead. And it's such a blessing because Noah was shielded from the carnage, from the dead bodies that would be floating around. A whole civilization was wiped out. They scoffed. Hello, church. Somebody say amen. The church is going to end on a positive note. Shatala Makaya. I used to hear it preached that we just hold on to the end, and you know who that's address, he that endureth to the end. It could be. You could use it and talk to Christians, and but it's aimed directly to the Jew. You're going to be treated in tribulation, you Jewish people, like you wouldn't believe. But here's, you hold on to the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. God help me this morning. I used to hear it preached. Oh, there's going to be a precious few. There's 7 billion people in the world, give or take a few million. 7 billion people. If 100 million people went to, how many millions are in a billion? 100 million. 100 million. If 100 million went in the rapture, that's still a lot of people there. It won't make a dent in the bucket. Am I talking to you? Pray that you be counted worthy. That word worthy means qualified. Pray that you be qualified. That when that day comes, you shall leave. watch you pray always. If the goodman of the house had known what hour when his house was going to be broken in. Oh, God, help me. So I move along a little bit here now. Am I relating to you? Don't worry about the church. There's a spirit called the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. You're going through junk. You're going through bereavement. You're going through hardship. But on the inside, there's a voice that will whisper if you listen to him. And he'll say, I want to tell you, everything is going to be all right. You don't see it. You don't understand it because all you got is tears in your eyes. But I see beyond the horizon. I see the weariness is going to give away to rest. Hardship is going to give away to joy. Pain is going to give away to wonder. Lift up the hands that hang down. That's what Hebrews 12 said. Strengthen the knees that are buckling. If you're under a load this morning, carry it to the altar. God don't want you to carry the load. He went to the cross, bore the heaviest thing that's ever been made on this earth, a piece of wood, symbolizing that he's got you. He's got your sin. He's got your degradation. He's carrying it to the cross to be nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. No, the real church, the true church, we've heard a voice from on high. See, let me tell you this. John said it in Revelation chapter 1. I heard a great voice. He saw a vision. He saw a vision of the Son of God, white-headed, eyes like fire, feet like brass, clothed with a girdle about his waist. And you know what John is saying, the Holy Ghost is saying, John, you're going to be writing about some unbelievable things. You're going to be writing about an earthquake, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. You're going to be writing about an earthquake that's going to shake the planet. And there will not be a city. Are you hearing me? There will not be a city on planet Earth left undisturbed. John, you need to see something before you start writing about that, because you need to have your anchor anchored. And he writes about it. And then John said, I heard a great voice saying what? Come up hither. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And it was the Lord's day. You'll never find the church mentioned from chapter 4 to chapter 19. 14 chapters in there, congested, full of material of pain and suffering. Blood running 200 miles to the horse's bridle. People crying, eating their own children. Cannibal. I can believe it. I can believe it. The way that they're trying to do the political system now, the way that people are doing, I can believe that people will revert to eating their own family. I read the clip on the news, where this prison hostage thing a little while back in Rio de Janeiro, the prisoners took the prison over and they were barbecuing fellow inmates. How do you do that? Because there's a devil. But where are we going? Where are we going? There'll be no tears. There'll be no sorrow. You know how much it cost you? I mean, if you're going to go to Los Angeles, you got to get the plane ticket, receipt reserved, all that. You know what it's going to cost you? You know what it's going to cost anybody to make it to that city? It's two ways to look at it. It's going to cost them everything. 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 The other way to look at it, it costs you nothing. Look, I mean, everything is you got to give up. You got to want to go to heaven more than you want to see your dead mama. You got to go. You got to go. You got to want to go to. Wanting to is half the battle. Wanting to will help you hurdle over a lot of mountains and pitfalls. wanted to. I want to make it to heaven. I want to, oh, hallelujah. But the real price is nothing. It's paid for. Paid in full. Oh, God. Oh, God. Stand with us. Give honor to the Holy Ghost. Hello, Mashiko Makakaya Hoshi. The only thing that will diminish and destroy that spirit of scoffing is the power of the Holy Ghost. You scoff at God when you pick and choose what you want to believe. You scoff at God when you mess around with holy vessels. You scoff at God when you mess around with the doctrines of the Scripture. People in this audience this morning, you need, and I say this with tenderness in my heart, the Holy Ghost has set this service up for you. I don't know who you are. I'm not going to try to play some mind game, but let me tell you something right now. This is not just, well, we come to church and go. This is God saying, I have an appointment with you, and I want you to come and fulfill the appointment because I can change your life. I can change your future. I can change your hope. So right now, without any music, without any singing, I need somebody, several people, whoever, I need some people to step out of their pew, walk down this aisle, get in this altar, and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven when it's all said and done. That's what I want to do. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God. Shadabasadamakaya. You know how to pray. You that are up here, you know how to pray. You know what needs to be laid on the altar and what don't. You know what needs to be reconciled and what don't. I'm asking you to just pray right now with your own spirit, with your own conscience. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move today. Oh, God.